Okay, welcome back. And as all of you regulars know, we have regulars here. And one of them is with us tonight, my good friend and colleague of so many years, Peter Davenport, and also a friend of yours, I assure you. Peter, of course, is the director and the man who runs the National UFO Reporting Center, otherwise known as NUFORC, and available, of course, at ufocenter.com, a vast repository of knowledge that is our birthright. Of course, our government doesn't believe that, nor does the controlled mainstream media. They hide it from all of you folks. But thank God for the Internet and Peter Davenport, because we can find it on there. Peter's reports and his material and his hard work, of course, show up prolifically in George Filer's very fine weekly Filer's Files, which is sent all over the world as well. So welcome back, PD.
Thank you, Jeff. Always nice to be here. You always go overboard in introducing me, but I must say I enjoy it at least once a month to hear such flattering word.
The truth is always easy for me, my friend.
Well, thank you, as always, and thank you for your indefatigable willingness to have people on who research the subject of ufology. I agree with your earlier statement. It is a profoundly important subject, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why our government is not squaring with the American people, and it worries me profoundly.
Yeah, so agreed.
One thing that keeps me moving forward at this crazy job, if I can call it a job.
Well, it pays so well, and all those retirement benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, the perks are endless, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure.
Ay. Well, anyway, the point is that there is an awful lot going on the planet, which your government, as you longtime listeners know, hides from you and has hidden from you for well over half a century, and continues to treat as its own personal property, as it were. But otherwise, and again, I cast shame and aspersions on all the mainstream media newspapers and the minor papers as well, who don't pick up this material and run at least a weekly review of some of the most extraordinary material that I've ever come across in my life, and that is found at ufocenter.com. I mean, my goodness, Peter, these things are happening all the time.
Yes.
And yet they report the most tawdry and despicable human behaviors as news, and continue to talk down to people all the time, but these newspapers will not stand up and do the right thing, which is to present the reality of the world in which we live in to the fullest and best extent of their abilities, limited though they may be.
Yeah. It just stuns me that our newspapers and alleged news media cover what goes on in Hollywood with the starlets and harlots who cavort down there, and yet they leave this subject untouched. I do not understand
it. Bisexual, trisexual, who's on what drug, how much weight does she lose, what's her bra size this month? I mean, you know, this is news? Come on.
No.
And by the way, there are some people who have criticized yours truly. Funniest thing.
I've noticed.
And one of the criticisms they throw at me is that I cover the UFO ET question, which makes me laugh every single time. Here we are confronted, as you and I and many of our good people know out there, with probably the most important question of all time of human history.
Yeah.
Are we alone? And the answer obviously is we aren't. And are we being visited? And the answer obviously is we are.
Yes.
And yet we're mocked by these alleged truth bringers and truth tellers for covering such material. Well, what the hell?
Yeah. It's bizarre.
It is. All right. What do you got tonight for us?
Well, you may recall that last month, in November, we talked about a case that occurred, a very dramatic sighting that occurred over O'Hare Airport on Election Day, November 7th, at about 4:30 p.m. As a result of that program and another program I did, we got a second report from another witness, and that gentleman has consented to come on the program tonight, for which I am immensely grateful. This is the first time that any of the eyewitnesses to this event over O'Hare Airport in Chicago has, to the best of my knowledge, gone public and been willing to share the details of his sighting from the cockpit of an airliner. With that, why don't we just go to him, let him tell his story? I don't know if he has a pseudonym that he would like to use, but we'll let him take the lead on that.
Very good. Welcome to the program, sir, and I echo Peter's gratitude. Thank you very much for sharing this information. Go right ahead, however you want to do it.
Okay, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're great. Doing well, thanks.
Pseudonym's not really necessary. Peter, you know my name. That's all that matters at this point.
Yeah.
it's like when my original filing on the report, you know, I stated what I do for a living. I move airplanes around the airport from one place to the other with about 85 other people at the airport from different airlines and ours also. And it was the 7th. It was, you know, like you said, around 4:30. We were sitting in the cockpit or on the flight deck of the airplane waiting to move from one location to the other. And there were some cat calls, as there are from time to time on the radio, but one of them came out very clearly about an object that was, you know, appeared to be floating above one of the terminals at O'Hare. As usual with the sense of humor that pilots had, there was, you know, a few remarks, and then you could hear very clearly, no, it's right above gate Charlie C-17, and I'm looking right at it. At that point, I was busy with the task at hand of having to move this aircraft with my partner, and at first we're like, oh, this is going to be a good one. I wonder what we're going to see. As we were moving the airplane, though, we looked up and saw what, you know, was plain as day, although it was dusk, a gray, you know, circular object that was hovering over the terminal complex. You know, I'm guessing at least, you know, 7 feet, 700, 800 feet, definitely 700 feet above the ground. It was an overcast day, completely overcast. And the object was trying, you know, appeared to be trying to stay right at the base of the cloud cover. It was holding very steady. I didn't notice, and maybe this was the fact that we were under motion, and I had to pay attention to keeping the airplane on the taxiway. Any, you know, circular movements or the, what appeared though strange was the top of the craft was very clear outline of a dark gray material, and around the edges and the bottom of it was hazy, like you were looking through the heat reflections, like when you're driving down a road in the desert.
Interesting. Were there any lights at all on the craft?
Not that I noticed. I mean, you know, I've seen other things over the years, and, you know, I'm used to seeing lights on airplanes every night when I'm working. There was no noticeable lights, really, of any kind, either reflected or part of the object.
This haziness you mentioned, Peter and I, certainly Peter far more than I, get reports commonly which describe this, and it suggests some kind of visual reaction to the propulsion system involved that causes, some say, a plasma or whatever, but a distorted, maybe it's some moisture around it, who knows, but not unusual.
Yeah, that's what, you know, after we got to the, you know, it takes about, you know, O'Hare's a zoo, as most people realize, unfortunately, when you have to fly through there. It takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to move from one side of the airport to the other. So by the time we got to our hangar complex on the other side of the airport and looked back, unfortunately it was gone, but there was a hole in the overcast. I mean, it looked like someone had literally punched a hole right through the clouds.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, this is incredible. And I'm like, are we seeing things? And, you know, unfortunately my partner's not as forthcoming as I am. He's actually, as I was telling Peter, received a fair amount of ridicule. You know, I don't care what the people have to say about what, you know, I know what I saw.
Sure.
And I know that a tremendous amount of people saw it that day. I would say that it lasted anywhere from, you know, I think almost 20 minutes, just judging from the time that the first radio call came out and then to the time that we parked our aircraft. Numerous pilots made comments about it. The ATC controllers, you know, in Chicago, they're phenomenal professionals at what they do, but they're also very abrupt when they talk to you. They made a few cat calls about, you know, oh, yeah, okay, follow the UFO and take the Alpha taxiway to your parking spot and stuff.
Were they able to see it? Did any of them acknowledge the target was in their view?
I would want to say that the guy who was handling what what is called inbound ground. At that time, because they have an inbound and an outbound or clearance delivery. They have, you know, approach control. They have tower controllers and stuff like that for the different runways.
Right.
I would say the guy handling inbound ground, who we were talking to, had to have seen
his
silence.
All right, very good. Stand by if you would, sir. We'll take a break and come right back. There you go, Peter. I mean, a clear object hovering right over the airport. And I think most of us could well surmise that anyone listening to the radio would look in that direction. And,
absolutely.
Acquire that object visually, and perhaps those in the tower choose not to speak in affirmative terms about something like that, but it's right there. Okay, hang on. Back in just a couple minutes as Peter and I continue. Okay, right back with all of you good people, Peter Davenport and yours truly, and our special guest who moves aircraft on the ground at O'Hare. All right, go right ahead. Were my comments in line with your general intuitive analysis of the situation? I mean, a lot of pros there. As you say, phenomenal professionals, and there's an object up there, and maybe they just don't want to talk about it. But clearly it had to be visually observable.
Well, it was. Well, the guys in the tower, anybody that's an ATC controller is a different breed, and I don't mean that in any kind of negative way or derogatory way because of the responsibility that they have. But I also was telling Peter that I had explained to me by a very close friend of mine who's a captain with the company I work for, that they're encouraged to be quiet about reporting, and there's even, I believe, a part of an FAR, and I still have not been able to find it, so I do not know if that's 100% accurate, about making reports. Any kind of nature. So I'm sure the guys in the tower are told that if they see something strange, just to keep doing their job and leave it at that.
Right. Unless something strange lands on one of the major approach runways, then you got a problem.
Yeah, when it lands and someone hops out and starts.
It'd be funny to hear how they handle that, though. I bet they'd handle it with some dry decorum.
Yeah, they probably would. But it would, I spent time up in the tower with those guys, and they're a good bunch of people. But,
yeah. I can't even imagine doing that kind of work, tell you the truth. It's amazing. All right, so the object, 700, 800 feet, just under the overcast, and when it left, it punched some kind of a hole right through the clouds as it took off, apparently straight up. What is your best projection on the diameter of the object?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. The distance initially from it when we first caught sight of it was at least, from a 30-degree angle from the horizon up. And if you were to extend your arm out and hold a quarter in your hand, it was probably around that size. So I'm guessing as we drove next to the sea concourse and looked up at it, anywhere between at least 20... definitely no larger than 40 feet in diameter. I would say probably closer to 30.
Closer to 30, you say?
Yeah, I would say between 20 and 30 would probably be a better estimate. Just, if you were to hold your hand up and even use your fingertips to determine a size.
But still, that's a substantial piece of hardware up there.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, and not showing up on radar. I mean, the radar that they have, if you've noticed in any of the new modern airports, all the control towers have a rapidly rotating radar antenna on the top of their tower. That is not an air radar or for the air traffic. That is a ground-based radar for being able to keep track of ground traffic and also, runway traffic.
Oh, really?
Inclement weather.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a very powerful, I believe, Doppler-type radar. And, we thought it was, oh, this is for air traffic control, and it's not. It's for ground traffic. But on the west side of the airport, there is a radar dish that is used to keep track of incoming air traffic.
Right.
And they claim not to have seen it, that it was know, I mean, some people said it was a reflection. Other people, who knows? It was not. I mean, it was an object.
Well, this is the human condition. We hear these kinds of things often. There'll be something up there. Some people just can't see it, won't see it, see something else. There's a lot of denial out there. There are people who just shut up. So, thanks to you, we have confirmation.
Yeah. That's an excellent report. For your information, by the way, and I don't want to use your name, but the ceiling on that day was 1,900 feet above ground level. Okay. So if you were looking at it at an angle of approximately 30 degrees above the horizontal plane, that means that you were within 3,800 feet of that object, and probably if it was below the 1,900-foot ceiling, that was the bottom of the overcast, it puts you commensurately closer to that object. So if it was as big as your thumbnail, that's about 6/10 of a degree. We can probably, from that information, figure out approximately how big it was. And your estimate is exactly correct. It conforms precisely to what another gentleman has already calculated for an estimated size, between 20 and 35 feet or so, I think it was. But I'm going on memory with that. So could you estimate how big the hole in the overcast was relative to how big the object itself was?
I would say that it would have to be very similar in size because, I mean, when we, like I said, after we parked the aircraft and we looked back to where the object or where the craft, to me it's not an object, it was some kind of craft, was at, it looked like it, they literally, you know, like you would take a cookie cutter and stamp it out of the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And that defined, and there was not, I mean, there's always wind in Chicago, but it stayed like that for a little while, and then just as it, you know, it dissipated into the overcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very, very close to the size of the craft.
Wow. Very good. Very good. All right, stand by if you would. We'll come back. Just a final comment or two from you if you think of anything else you want to leave us with, and our gratitude to you. And we shall continue in just a couple minutes. Don't go away. Let me remind all of you to please stop by and visit us at rense.com. That's RENSE.com 24/7 for news from around the world that we think you ought to be aware of so you can make a better decision on whatever issue it is that you are struggling with. Be right back. Okay, right back with Peter Davenport, of course, and our special guest. Anything you want to add to your excellent report tonight? And we are, again, deeply indebted to you for coming forward.
Well, I'm happy to be able to come forward on this. I agree with Peter very much on this about why what our government's insistence is on not sharing this information. Maybe they're worried about mass hysteria for people to realize that we're not alone. I don't know what it is. I don't want to interject a lot of my own personal philosophy on our government on this, but it's just a shame that more people won't talk about, what they see and what they've experienced. Rather, they seem to go to the lowest common denominator of people to try to debunk, what is out there. I mean, this was O'Hare. I know a lot of people saw this.
Isn't this item up there a definite threat, potentially, to civilian aviation?
You know, I wouldn't think so, to be honest with you.
I'm not saying that the intelligence of the control of that object, but technically speaking, if there's an unidentified piece of hardware over an airport like that in that position, is it not technically some kind of an impediment to clear airspace? Well, that's the point.
It is a violation of the airspace.
Right.
But I would hope to think that somebody who is, if you know, is able to figure out how to traverse across the stars would be able to avoid hitting a relatively slow-moving object as it takes off or lands at the airport.
But not being able to... But should they not be notified that there is, in fact, at least a report of an object at X position over the airport?
They should be, but, I mean, again, if the government has, put the screws down on something like this, and they have. We all know they have. The guys in the tower, I don't know if they would be allowed. I mean, they have supervision that watches over them constantly.
Uh-huh.
Would say, you know what, it's not there, or it is there, and it's not in the way. We don't know what it is.
So don't say anything.
I know for a fact, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm not saying anything bad. They have communications equipment in the tower at O'Hare to where they can talk to whoever they need to on a military level instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very special computer in there. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And it's tied into the ability to track aerial objects. So maybe they did see it, but maybe they just said, you know what?
Well, it sounds like they probably did, and then just entered it into their communication systems, which you just described, and let the military worry about it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
very informative.
Okay.
Boy, a great report. I cannot thank you enough for your willingness to come forward and share this information and share it so well. You've done it in a magnificent fashion. Low-key, informative, objective, without a lot of hyperbole and so on. I couldn't have gotten a better report from a witness, and not only I, but I think all of our listeners tonight are indebted to you for your willingness to do this.
Well, I just, like I said, I hope more people will not be afraid to come out and say, hey, I saw that. I feel very privileged to what I've seen.
Yeah, well, that's a great feeling, and by your appearance here, you are encouraging others, and you can count on that. It means a lot.
And
okay.
When you talk to your colleagues and your fellow employees, please encourage them to submit reports. One thing I emphasize is we do not release names, addresses, phone numbers, or any personal information, so they will not be identifiable if they submit a report.
You've been very good about that, so I want to thank you for that also.
Yeah. Boy, great report, and thanks again.
Thank you, sir. Thanks very much.
Good night.
Yep, good night.
Okay, good night. Well, see, that just really heartens one to hear an American like that come, a human being like that come forward and say, hey, this is the way it is,
Yeah.
Not fearful, not mocking, but understanding that not only do we have a right to this, but understanding, I think, obviously, that his coming forward hopefully will encourage others to do the same. That's
absolutely
so important.
Just imagine, Jeff, the profundity of what our guest just said is sweeping over me. He is describing in a very objective fashion the fact that a very bizarre object, I think we could almost say that it was not from this planet because we don't have any craft, at least that we're aware of, that can perform in a fashion that the witnesses have reported to us. And by the way, any of our listeners who would like to read this gentleman's report can do so on our website at ufocenter.com for the 7th of November, 2006. There are two reports from O'Hare Airport, and this gentleman whom we just heard was one of the two who submitted written reports. We've asked others to do the same, but we have not received any reports from them. But this craft was hovering in closed airspace. It's a control zone. It's what is known as Class B airspace. No object, no aircraft is supposed to be there unless it has a transponder and it has a radio and it's in communication with the tower. And yet this object apparently was not, and it did not show up on radar. That tells me that we're almost certainly dealing with something very, very strange. It's probably was not from this planet. That is my impression at this stage.
And if it was military, which I agree, I don't think it was, what the heck are they going to do hanging around over O'Hare Airport in visible conditions,
They're
silly. They have a malfunction. They crash. It's a little hard to get it out of there without a lot of people looking.
Yep.
Anyway, same old, same old. Agreed. Not here. Intelligent, right through the clouds, and whatever drive system it was using probably vanquished the moisture in a perfect punch-out right through the overcast.
Yeah. Just imagine, this thing rose vertically, apparently, according to all the witnesses that I've talked to, it rose vertically, and not only did it rise vertically, it accelerated upwards so fast that the people who had been looking at it a moment earlier had no idea what direction it had gone. Like a marble out of a slingshot, like a bullet out of a rifle barrel. And, moreover, it burned a hole in the overcast that remained there, apparently, for some period of time.
Uh-huh.
This
uh-huh.
is an... And, you know, yeah. Jeff, we were talking about the yeah. press yeah. at the beginning of this program, as we are frequently wont to do.
Yeah.
Why have they not covered it in Chicago newspapers?
Yeah. From what I've heard and what we've heard, the senior editors will simply spike any stories that are submitted, or they tell the reporter, we just don't cover this.
Yeah.
And that's the word we get from people in the business. So, you know, the lid came down in the late 60s, early 70s, and that was pretty much the end of it. It takes an incredible sighting by literally thousands of people to make the papers. We remember, and we mention it often, that the Phoenix Lights, that you investigated so brilliantly, were literally not reported on by even the Phoenix media until months later, just before the Roswell anniversary celebration. So, silly stuff. Okay, right back with all of you in just a couple minutes.